Good evening, everyone. Nice to see each of you. Nice to see the Andersons with us and Craig and the Camilleris. We've got a full visitor, full house tonight. Fantastic. All right, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 5. As you turn there, I'm not going to apologize, but I am going to make mention to the fact that some of you might have heard something similar to this before at some point. Not all of you, most of you haven't, but I've shared this little word, this little story a few times in the past year. While you're turning to Joshua chapter 5, I'll tell you this. Does this happen to you often? It certainly happens to me when you most need the Lord to speak to, that a little verse comes up in your daily reading, or there's an impactful story or passage or psalm or a few verses that come up often in your reading or in your thoughts or in your meditations that you need the most. That certainly happens to me quite often in my reading. And of course, that's how the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Thank you. And so this story has actually been a full year-long thing. So I definitely have to retire it after tonight. It definitely has to go away for a little bit because I've shared it often, I've thought about it often, and it has been a great beacon in my mind, something I have aimed for, something I have tried to be, and that is the character of Joshua in this little passage. Joshua chapter 5, we're not going to read the whole thing, we're just going to go to verse 13. And by the way, I want to make mention, it's always a privilege to share the word. So thank you for having me again. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I'll give you just in a couple sentences the context of the story so we don't have to read the two chapters ahead of us. Joshua and the children of Israel are just about to go into the first city of Jericho. They're going to their first enemy to take them down. They're going to destroy the city. Of course, we know that famous story. They would go around the city and the walls would tumble. This is just on the eve of that event. They have entered the promised land of Canaan. The entire land is before them. And now they must go in and conquer it. And of course, Joshua's book, as our brother alluded to a number of weeks ago, is a book of conquering, a book of faith. And so Joshua demonstrates that here. This is an absolutely amazing couple of verses. I love these verses. They are so good, so good. Chapter 5, verse 13, let's read them together. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho, he's obviously alone here. We don't get any idea that he's by himself. When he's alone, possibly praying, possibly thinking of the battle that's about to happen, the eve of this massive battle to take down this great city. When Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. Can't you picture this scene? He lifts up his eyes, he's by himself outside the camp, and he looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. This is going to be, I mean, you'll see it in these couple of verses. This is a man of great courage. If I'm standing outside the camp, I can't imagine what he's thinking. He has limited battle experience. Of course, he's known as a warrior, but up until this point, he's a young man. He's a man that has followed after Moses. He's just beginning to be his successor. And now he is going to do something absolutely outrageous. He is going to march around a city and destroy it. Of course, God has given him the perfect plan, the perfect instructions. But still a daunting task. Perhaps trembling, perhaps nervous outside the city as he begins to make the final preparations. And he sees a man standing just a little ways away with his sword drawn. I don't know what your reaction would be. Mine would be pure fright. This is my opportunity to call some of my guards, call some of the henchmen, call some of the low-ranking officers to come out and take care of this guy, and I'll head back into the innermost part of the tents. That's not at all what Joshua does here. Look what happens. He's standing opposite with his sword drawn. It's not in its sheath. It's drawn towards Joshua. And Joshua goes to him. Get this, Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" Bold move, bold first line. Are you with us or are you for our adversaries? Now, if God ever had a sense of humor, it would be in this little story because the answer of this man is nothing short of comical. Look at the response. No. What kind of an answer is that? He asks, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And the man replies, "No." What kind of an answer is that? No. Look at what he says. "Rather, I indeed come now, look at this title, Captain of the Host of the Lord. Joshua fell to the earth, his face to the earth, and bowed down to him. What has my Lord to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's hosts said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Tiny little story, eh? Only two verses. Amazing. Three verses. Amazing, amazing little encounter here. I think there's really something for us tonight in Charlottetown Bible Chapel on a Wednesday in September. Something that we can dig from here, some little nuggets. First of all, this encounter is one of many encounters you will see in the Old Testament regarding God appearing to men and women. Now, I came into this particular reading when I first read Joshua quite a few number of months ago, came in a little skeptical if this is really a theophany. Now, a theophany in Scripture is when God appears to men. We can think of Moses as an example, not in a human form or in his actual full glory. Of course, the Scripture says that no man can live if they see God's glory, if they see God's face. But we think of the burning bush. That was a theophany. God appeared in a form to speak to Moses. We think of Mount Sinai. Remember that great billowing smoke and fire that came from the mountain? And God made it very clear, Exodus chapter 12, made it very clear, that might not be right, but you know where I'm going with this. Chapter 12, if any man or beast, is what the Scripture says, any man or beast touches the mountain, they will die. God had appeared in a form. We think of the pillar of fire, the cloud by day. This here is a little different. Commentators and theologians have called this a Christophany. Christophany is a specific encounter with the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, before he's come to earth, his pre-incarnate form. Now, I've heard this, I'm sure you've heard this before on this story, or on a couple other instances where a man appears with a title that is quite high ranking before a man, a prophet perhaps, and you've heard it's a Christophany, the second person of the Trinity appearing before his incarnation, before the Lord Jesus was actually born physically on earth. I got to be honest with you, I was quite skeptical of that because that seems like what's really reading into the text. However, I have recently been totally convinced the other direction that I think most definitely it is the Lord Jesus. I'll give you a couple of examples of this. This word commander, it's a high rank. It's one of the highest ranks, the highest ranks in an army, specifically in a Jewish context, but certainly in the Roman context, in the Greek, everyone understood that the commander, and we certainly do in our culture today, commander is still the top tier, the top of the military. He controls the whole garrison. Commander, that word is sar in Hebrew. It's only used twice in the Old Testament. Here, as a commander, or the captain of the host of the Lord, and it's used again in where? Isaiah 9:6. What is that word? Prince of Peace. Commander of peace, captain of peace. That's, of course, a very clear messianic description of the Lord Jesus. He is the prince of peace, sar, commander. Excellent. It goes further than that because, of course, the Lord would give lots of evidence for this. We see this four times in the New Testament. Let me give you a couple examples. If you're writing them down, you don't have to look there. Don't look there now. I'll just give you the references here. A couple of examples of this, Acts 3:15. But you put to death the what? The Tsar, the Archigos, which is in Greek, Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author, the Tsar, the leader, the captain of our salvation, the commander of our salvation, that same word. One more example, Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, the commander, the captain, the perfecter, or the leader of our faith. Those are just some examples of that word being used, all in reference to the Lord Jesus. So standing before Joshua, I'm pretty convinced, and I could give you more scripture on it. Is the Lord Jesus, what an encounter. Standing before Joshua is the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. He's standing in some form of a man with his sword drawn. A little sidetrack for a second here. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus is shown here with a sword drawn, protecting his people. That is what the Lord Jesus does. That is what his job is as leader, captain, commander of the church. He guards his sheep. He guards the flock. He leads the flock. He is the commander of the army. I want to just maybe, this certainly, as I thought about this high-ranking title in the last couple of days, this has made, awe has happened in my heart, awe, A-W-E. I've come to awe of this person here. A commander of legions is what is described of the Lord Jesus. Remember Matthew 26, he speaks to his disciples. Peter has his sword drawn, and he goes to slice off the ear of the high priest's servant. And the Lord Jesus says, I could call 12 legions of angels. 72,000 angels could come in a moment if I called them. The commander of 72,000 angels. Do you think that's all the angels there are? Certainly not. You'll remember in 2 Samuel 24, do you remember that death angel that went through that slaughtered 70,000 people? Israel's rebellion, he stretched out his hand. One angel stretches out his hand and 70,000 men are wiped off the face of the earth. One angel, that's one. He can call 72,000 at any request, at any moment. This is the commander. This is the Lord Jesus. That is the great power of the Lord Jesus. One more thing, I spoke on this at camp this summer in a couple different spots. The story of Elisha. Remember, Elisha is in the city. The Aramaeans are surrounding the city. And the servant rushes to Elisha and says, they're going to kill you. We're trapped. And Elisha prays to God and says, open the eyes of my servant. The servant looks out the window and he sees an enormous garrison of fiery chariots surrounding the whole mountain, looking down on the Aramaeans. Great power, great authority, the commander of the Lord's army. Isn't that fantastic? That is what is described of the Lord Jesus. We can take great comfort in the fact that he is our protector. He's our protector. He has his sword drawn. This is an unbelievable response, and I want to get to this. I think this is the nugget. This is the full essence here of this little encounter that we have here. This man responds, the Lord Jesus responds to Joshua and says, I'm not on your side. I'm on no man's side. We could maybe read into the text here and put under in brackets. Do you know what this man, the Lord Jesus, this commander is saying to Joshua? The question is not, am I with you? The question is, are you with me? Can we not draw some conclusions about that today? How often do I try to tag on the Lord Jesus to something I'm doing in my life? I'll take God along in this endeavor. I'll take God along in this pursuit. I'll give a prayer here and there, and perhaps it'll come together. I have a great plan, perhaps even in this church. We function in this church. We have great plans and ambitions and pursuits, a great plan for your family. And we think, you know what would be a good thing to do? I'm already about 3/4 of the way through in planning. I'll send a prayer to God and see if I can bring him along in this endeavor. This commander makes it very clear, Joshua, I'm not with you. The question is, are you with me? Are we with the Lord Jesus? You know, it's a great response to when asked about the will of God. The will of God. What's God's will for me? The question is, what is God doing? What has God put very clearly in his word? Do that. Do that. We know some very basic things. The will of God is to pray without ceasing and everything give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We think of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. So many of these little things, these are common or will of God's people. That's just the very beginning, the very basics of God's will for our life. God is asking us. He's asking us as a local assembly. Are we with him? Are we with him? Look at the response of Joshua here. We just have a couple minutes left. The response of Joshua is an example to us. Joshua falls to his knees. He puts his face to the ground and he worships. Now, of course, we know that this definitely is another example or another reason to believe that this is not just an angel, because many angels in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, particularly in Revelation, a number of times John bows to angels, several different times in Revelation, and the angel every time says to him, do not worship me. Do not worship me, worship the Lord Jesus. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. But that's the same idea here of this here. This angel or this manifestation here would not have accepted praise and worship if it wasn't actually the Lord Jesus. He allows him. And he actually says, you're standing on holy ground. Same as the burning bush. You remember God in that burning bush. He told Moses, take your sandals off. What's the lesson here for that? What's our takeaway from that? This ought to be the posture of our hearts. Not to be the posture of your heart. You want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. You want to do great things for God. Posture of your heart is absolutely key. It's absolutely fundamental for us as believers in this local assembly to function together that we have the right posture of heart. A heart that is in total submission to the Lord Jesus. Because you know what? When we have a submissive heart, that's a beautiful word, by the way, submissive. We have a submissive heart. We come under his authority, his protection. What happened directly after this? Joshua does exactly as the Lord commanded. He takes the people around the six times. On the seventh time, they blow the trumpets. They yell. They've got their swords out. The walls fall. Joshua delivers them. I like the piano background, though, as my final thoughts come out. It's quite nice. Do you know what? The city walls fall. The city is destroyed, and town and city and enemy after enemy fall to the Israelites. Was that because Joshua was a great commander? I'm sure maybe he was. I'm sure maybe he had great plans. But he was submissive to the Lord Jesus, totally submissive to him. I'm going to say one thing here. It's coming to mind. I'm going to trust it's the Lord. This is maybe a little bit of a sub, a little bit of a segue, but I think it ties into this. I was thinking about this just this afternoon. But I think it's pertinent when it comes to this. Fellowship in the local assembly, local church, that is a word that has kind of gotten lost in the evangelical church in the West. And I'm not just saying that in abstract. I know that. I've been to many lovely evangelical churches on the island, our friends who even go there. That word has kind of gotten lost in many places. You know, I've really come to appreciate in the last year, the last couple of months, and even in the last couple of days as I was thinking about this, I'm so thankful that is taught here, fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is just partnership. We are partnered together in the endeavors of the Lord Jesus in his local church. It's not the same thing as membership. I know that is something that is said in churches. It's fine. But fellowship has the idea of partnering, working together for a common goal, encouraging each other, equipping each other, evangelizing together, witnessing together, rebuking each other, teaching each other. I think what it really boils down to, though, fellowship, it's not a complicated thing. It's a beautiful thing that the Lord Jesus instituted. There is umpteen million scriptures on this in the New Testament. Fellowship. It's a beautiful concept the Lord created. Do you know what it really comes down to? If we take it all down into one word, a wonderful thing the Lord Jesus has provided and something he has made in the church. Accountability. Accountability. It's a wonderful thing to be accountable. You know what? I'm accountable to my parents. I live in my parents' home still. I'm accountable to my dad. He's my boss. I have to get a certain amount of things done in the run of a day. I'm accountable to other leaders here, older brothers and sisters in this assembly. I'm accountable to the elders, as we all are. And you know what? We're all accountable to the chief commander. There's great protection in that. Great protection in that. And so I'd encourage you, if you're not in fellowship, go speak to the elders. I know they look like they bite, but they really don't. They're lovely men. You know what? They're going to sit down with you. I know I'm talking to them, preaching to the choir here in a little bit, but this is something we have to talk about and discuss together. Because it's a beautiful thing the Lord Jesus has instituted. If you're not in fellowship, speak to the elders of. They want to talk to you and tell you what it's about, what it means. It means you're partnering. You don't have to sign on a docket, not a certain number of attendance days. But what it means is you partner with the body here. We work together. We're a team here, and we've got one commander, and we follow his lead. Are we with him? If we are, we got to have submissive hearts, a posture of heart in worship, reverence for who he is, and we wait for him. He's the commander. He's got the battle plans. We just follow his lead. Father, thank you for your word, and pray that it would touch, Father, our heart, or a few, Father, in this room tonight. It certainly has touched mine, Father, thinking of this encounter. We pray these things in the Lord Jesus' name.